Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, hi there, everybody. Happy Saturday to you. Evan Roberts until 1 o'clock this afternoon. This is a very healthy weekend for everybody's marriage. A healthy weekend for your life, because for the first time since freaking Labor Day weekend, we actually don't have football. Which, I gotta tell you, I'm very mixed about it. Part of me is very excited because, like I said, it's healthy. You can do other things on your Sunday, but then there's a part of me that's very, you know, depressed because I love football. And it's funny because usually this week, the week before the week leading up to the Super Bowl, is a very, very quiet week. You know, you think back on what the NFL season was, you start to think ahead to the Super Bowl, but you don't want to think too much about it because you have another week. And this week in New York sports, as we sit here on a Saturday and you think back to the last 5 days, it's kind of been insane. We knew Jeter was getting in the Hall of Fame, so that wasn't a surprise, but it's the finality of it. It's the drama of can he get 100% of the vote, and it makes you reminisce on the career that Derek Jeter had. The not shocking announcement of Eli Manning, but again, the finality of Eli Manning. So we start reminiscing about Eli's career and then that inevitable debate that will never go away, at least until he's in the Hall of Fame, and that's Eli's legacy. And then you had the Mets hiring a manager, which also wasn't a shock, but we didn't have to sit here anymore debating if it's going to be Buck Showalter or Dusty Baker or Luis Rojas or Hensley Mullin. So it turned out to be a very, very busy week over the last 5 days in New York. With Rojas, yesterday we got to meet Luis Rojas. Not really, I wasn't there, but we got to talk to Luis Rojas. And as Met fans or Yankee fans or baseball fans, you got to hear from Luis Rojas. And I want to answer something because this has sort of bothered me over the last couple of days. There was a caller to Richard, one of the last callers he took, who brought up Wally Backman's name. Now, I have no issue with Wally Backman. And for many years on this radio station, you know, Al Dukes would joke about all the Eli calls he's screened over the last 15 years. Maybe a close second or third place would be Wally Backman calls. We've taken so many of them about how he should be the Mets manager, whether it was before they hire Terry Collins, whether it was after they fire Terry Collins, whether it was in the middle of Terry Collins, whether it was now, it always came back to Wally. And again, I have no issue with Wally Backman. Wally had an opportunity to manage, and I think where it all ended for him is that he wasn't honest with the Arizona Diamondbacks. Now, if he was honest with the Diamondbacks, would he have gotten that job? Probably not. I'll admit that. But I think that ruined any chance he ever had of managing because he was dishonest with Arizona. Do human beings deserve a second chance? Of course. But I think we all realize Wally's not going to get one at the major league level. But the reason I'm bringing Wally Backman's name up is that Wally Backman has been the apple of Mets fans' eyes for years. And one of the reasons that was always given about Wally is, hey, guy's managing the minor leagues, the guy's paid his dues, and he's won wherever he went, right? That's what we heard about Wally. Oh, yeah, by the way, he was on the 86 Mets, but he will be a hell of a manager. And I heard it with that caller to Richard, and I have nothing against the caller. I get it. The passion for Wally Backman. Luis Rojas. And I'm not telling you Luis Rojas is going to be the next John McGraw. I have no idea. But Luis Rojas, in many ways, besides age and playing on the 86 Mets, has a lot of resume similarities to Wally Backman. The guy went to the minor leagues and he managed and he did it. And yes, managing the Gulf Coast League or managing the Binghamton Rumble Ponies or the Binghamton Mets before they changed their name, or managing in the Winter League is certainly not managing in the major leagues. We get it, but it's managing. And yet, over the last few years, we haven't taken a ton of phone calls about, you gotta hire Luis Rojas. That guy wins wherever he goes. Players love him. All the reasons usually given for Wally Backman you could in many ways say for Luis Rojas. Now, there are differences. The big one being Luis Rojas wasn't a fan favorite on the 1986 Mets. But I want to be honest with you about something. While the idea of a former player managing or coaching your team is great, like the idea of Jason Kidd coaching the Nets, oh my God, that's amazing. Or even the idea for Knicks fans of Patrick Ewing coaching the Knicks, or even Mark Jackson to a lesser degree coaching the Knicks is great. Or even the crazy idea of, hey, how about Curtis Martin coaching the Jets? All of it sounds great. And if you could write the novel, the perfect story of your team winning a world championship, that's how you'd write it. They'd all be homegrown, they'd all be drafted, and the coach or manager would be an all-time favorite player. But that's not how the stories go. Usually, the manager of your team or the coach of your team is a guy who doesn't have that deep-seated connection with your franchise. Sometimes they do, but a lot of times they don't. You know, Casey Stengel was a player on the Brooklyn Dodgers. Joe Torre was a hell of a baseball player, but he wasn't an all-time great Yankee. He wasn't a Yankee. But what do we think of Joe Torre now? What do we say about Joe Torre now? What do we say about Davey Johnson now? Davey Johnson's connection in Met history was he made the final out of the 1969 World Series. The moral of this story is you don't have to have a deep-seated connection as a player to that franchise to be the right coach or the right manager for the job. This is not revisionist history for me. I accepted Carlos Beltran as the manager, but I wasn't as excited as Joe was because while I loved Carlos as a player, I didn't know what kind of manager he was going to be. And who knows? He may have turned out to be a great manager. I've said this a few times. I debated with, I don't know if he was a Yankee fan or just a baseball fan, a couple days ago when I said, hey, I think Aaron Boone's a really good manager. And he said he's not a good manager. I think he is. I get it. He's got a great roster. Trust me, that's a big part of managing in baseball. But Aaron Boone has worked out as manager. And 2 years ago, I couldn't have told you that was going to happen. Based on what? The guy was a former analyst. So I'm not saying anything from Luis Rojas' press conference or interview with Joe and I has convinced me he's going to be John McGraw. I'm not convinced he's John McGraw. But what I like and what I'm not blinded by is somebody's baseball card and what they did as a player and what team they did it for, because it's irrelevant. It really is. And so for those who still pine for Wally Backman, I tell you this, if you're being fair and if you're being intellectually honest with yourself, tell me with a straight face, what is the true difference between Wally Backman and Luis Rojas besides a few years in age? And really, the true difference, you liked Wally as a player. And that's cool. And again, it's sort of similar to a debate Joe and I had this week. We were talking about Nolan Arenado, who may well be traded by the Colorado Rockies. There's a chance they're going to deal him. And I said to Joe, I think this is what a trade offer would have to look like if you're the New York Mets. I'm just projecting. I'm trying to use my brain. I'm trying to be fair on what it would take. And I think it would take a Jeff McNeil being in the deal. And as we debated the merits of including him in a deal like that, Joe said something which, of course, I agree with. And that's, I want my guys to be on my team to win a world championship. And, of course, that's true. But, hey, Knicks fans, yeah, I'm talking to you. Guys played a nice game last night against the Raptors. You battled. You kept it close. Pascal Siakam hit a big shot. The Knicks defense kind of broke down late. And the Knicks lost to Toronto. You are a million miles away from winning an NBA championship. Yes, in a perfect world. You want R.J. Barrett to be lifting that trophy, right? You want Frank Ntilikina to actually develop and lift that trophy. But if I told you right now, Giannis Antetokounmpo is going to lift that trophy with you and a bunch of free agent signings, I think you'll be okay with it. I think I'll be okay in my dreamland if Kevin Durant's lifting a trophy. Newsflash, the Nets didn't draft Kevin Durant and the Knicks didn't draft Giannis Antetokounmpo. You want to win. Yes, is it more special when it's your guys? Yankee fans can comment on that because they've got all sorts of championships. They can compare watching winning a championship with a young Derek Jeter, a Bernie Williams that had become a primetime star by 1996, and a mix of veterans, and then they can cite 2009 where they added a lot of free agents. So they can compare it. But I can tell you right now, if you're a New York Knicks fan, if you're a Brooklyn Nets fan, if you're a New York Mets fan, if you're a New York Jets fan, if you're a Ranger fan, if you're an Islander fan, if you're a Devil fan, and you're damn right I'll include the Giants, two Super Bowls in the last, 13 years is nice, but you're tasting it. Do you really care who's on your team when you win a championship? And to really care if your coach or manager has this deep connection to your team? Look, Rojas has a connection in that they developed him. And there's something kind of cool about that. They developed their next manager in a way similar to Davey Johnson. But when we're talking about managers, when we're talking about coaches, they don't have to be a former player that you loved. It's nice if that's the case. Sorry, I'm dropping my microphone in excitement. That would be nice, but it's just not necessary. Where we're going to find out about Luis Rojas, because you want to try to figure out what kind of manager he is based on a press conference or an interview with us, good luck. We're not going to be able to figure it out. Just like we were unable to figure out what kind of manager Aaron Boone was going to be until he managed, until we watched with our eyes, until we saw adversity, because there's going to be adversity. There's going to be decisions that we're going to all scream and yell about. And more importantly than anything, and this is just obvious, but it's the truth, we're going to judge it based on wins. We're going to judge based on if the New York Mets win more than 86 games next year and make the postseason. One reason why Aaron Boone, 2 years in, despite not winning a championship, despite not getting to a World Series, despite not getting to the seventh game of the LCS the way Joe Girardi did in his last year, despite not getting that far, the reason, or one of the big reasons, while I would sit here 2 years in and say, hey, I think Aaron Boone is a good manager, is what we saw last year. The Yankees faced tons of adversity. Yeah, I remember sitting here in the middle of May doing a Saturday show saying, hey, with all these injuries, just play 500 ball and survive. Then you'll get guys healthy, get hot, maybe you'll make the playoffs. And you know what they did? They won 103 games. And they did it with so many guys missing a ridiculous amount of time, led by Giancarlo Stanton, who barely played, continued by Luis Severino or Dellin Betances or Miguel Andujar. And so winning 103 games with just an absurd amount of injuries, that's why to me Aaron Boone was the manager of the year last year. The story on Aaron Boone hasn't been written though, and we know how it's going to be defined. It's going to be defined by winning. It's going to be defined by winning a championship, and it starts this year because the New York Yankees, for the first time, I think, in the last, I'd say decade, are really facing a championship or bust season. Now, you could say it's always that way for the Yankees. It's always, you better win a World Series or it's a disaster. It was that way in the 90s. It was that way in the early 2000s. You can't really say it's been that way for the last decade. The Yankees went through a transition. We saw it happen. 2017, in a weird way, felt like it came out of nowhere. I mean, that was the year 2017. They got to the seventh game of the ALCS, and at the beginning of the year, Joe was saying over and over again, hit the Yankee over. The Yankee over was 83 and a half. It wasn't like it was 90. But this is the season where the expectations are they got to win it all. They got to win the whole damn thing. And so what are we saying about Aaron Boone a year from now? We'll see. I can tell you 2 years in, I think he's a good manager. But what are we saying next year at this time? Who knows? What are we saying 6 months from now about Luis Rojas? I don't know. But so far, and maybe as I explained yesterday, I just don't want, I don't want to be negative. It feels like the teams I root for now are going through a lot of negativity. So you look at a hire like this and say, I'm not going to look for all the bad things. I'm going to look at it fairly and say, it's not a terrible hire. They promoted a guy who's paid his dues and who's managed. And we'll see how it turns out. So we can talk about Luis Rojas, the greatness of Derek Jeter, the Hall of Fame debate, the endless Hall of Fame debate about Eli Manning. We could also touch on the Knicks, who played the Raptors tough last night, but came up short. But one thing about the Knicks that's very disconcerting, and that is their new plan of kind of partnering with a PR firm to change the image of the New York Knicks. We'll discuss that a little bit later on. And I did put up a poll on Twitter because it was 10 minutes before the show, and I was kind of bored, saying, what do you want to hear this morning? And there was a lot of Royal Rumble votes. Now, I'll tell you this. There is a Royal Rumble tomorrow night,
But you could check out a very special Evan Roberts podcast featuring the producer of this fine Saturday show, Tommy Lugauer, and I, and one other guy, as we do preview the Royal Rumble. But maybe we'll mention it throughout the show, because it is something to look forward to on a Sunday that features no football, which I'm still kind of wrapping my head around. But everything's on the table on this Saturday, including Matthew Barzell being the fastest skater in the world. 877-337-6666. And an interesting underrated piece of Yankee news concerning Miguel Andujar, which we'll discuss as well. Evan Roberts, I'm here for 3 hours until this legendary duo, Eddie Coleman and Gary Myers. So we'll get this thing rolling next.
Bill Snopper here, and Nielsen is ready to kick off your new year with tremendous savings. It's the New Year's kickoff event at Nielsen. We're passing on amazing New Year discounts on every new Jeep, Chrysler, Dodge, and Ram.
That's right, Bill. Amazing New Year discounts up to 10 grand off MSRP on every new Jeep, Chrysler, Dodge, and Ram. Lease a new 2020 Jeep Grand Cherokee Laredo 4x4, just $249 a month. And a new 2020 Ram 1500 Crew Cab Bighorn 4x4, just $299 a month. Seeing is believing.
You'll also get $1,500 over book value for your trade. And if you need credit, Nielsen can help get you approved fast.
Save today the Nielsen way. Route 10 East Hanover. Online at NielsenDodge.com. Start something new sales event. Offers with approval Jeep 42, Ram 36 months, Jeep 6239, Ram 6693 note sign. Add tax, tag, and DMV fees. Savings new 2019 Ram 2500 Crew Cab.
You think you've seen something? You haven't seen nothing yet.
Yeah. Come on, all the smoke, baby.
All
give it to
the
us.
Smoke.
Matt Barnes, Stephen Jackson.
Talking about sports, life, culture.
I can't believe you two guys are doing media.
Yeah, I just want to get into good conversation. Kobe Bryant.
Doing great.
Dwayne Wade. Stephen A.
We got to talk. What's going on?
Steph Curry.
Over here laugh, crying. Hell nah.
It's good vibes only. You can find us here, over there, everywhere.
Radio.com and all major podcast platforms.
Peace.
On Wednesday, March 25th, will you be there live in Newark when AEW Dynamite comes to the tri-state area for the first time ever?
Oh, look at this!
See AEW World Champion Chris Jericho and the Inner Circle, Cody, Jon Moxley, Santana and Ortiz, Kenny Omega, MJF, Joey Janela, The Nightmare Collective, and the Young Bucks.
Oh my God!
Don't miss AEW Dynamite at the Prudential Center. Tickets are on sale now and start at $25. Go to AEWTix.com and Ticketmaster.com.
I'm not a big talker. I am a big doer. But sometimes the only way to solve the problem is to get on the horn and figure it out. So the only people I like talking to? Grainger. With knowledgeable product experts, ready with the answers to my toughest questions, calling Grainger is the one conversation I don't mind having. From machining and motor parts to valves and vacuum pumps, when it comes to solving my problems, Grainger's got my back. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
Excuse me, Captain. This is your wake-up call from the new TracFone Wireless.
What's that now?
What if you had to fly this plane while sitting back in the cabin?
I wouldn't have any control.
Well, that's what it's like going with some wireless companies. But TracFone Wireless gives you control. Get unlimited talk and text on America's best 4G LTE network starting at $20 a month, no contract. Plus, unlimited carryover data with active service.
That's cool, but how'd you get in my cockpit?
This is your wake-up call, people. The new TracFone Wireless. Now you're in control.
Available at major retailers. See terms and conditions at trackphone.com.
Use their car finder to find the pre-owned you want at the price you want. Go to whiteplainsbiglot.com.
I'm Piera Palazzolo, VP of Digital Marketing for the American Management Association, a company focused on the management training skills needed to enhance the careers of business professionals. We did our research when it came to the best companies for website development and chose AmericanEagle.com. And we couldn't be happier. AmericanEagle.com worked closely with us to understand the front and back end requirements needed to launch an e-commerce website that could handle the complexities of running thousands of seminars nationwide. Our robust new website and improved SEO saw immediate increases in site traffic and web revenue. If you're in need of managerial effectiveness and success, visit our website at amanet.org. If you're in need of a website that provides an unparalleled consumer experience, I highly recommend AmericanEagle.com.
Call AmericanEagle.com at 877-WEB-NOW-1. That's 877-WEB-NOW-1. Or visit AmericanEagle.com. They'll help you build your digital mindset.
Sunbelt Rentals brings more yes to your projects. From full-service solutions to small tool rentals, Sunbelt leverages its inventory of more than 8,000 types of tools and equipment to support any job, large or small. Need a hand drill? Sure thing. Looking for a skid steer loader? You got it. Trying to find multiple forklifts for your construction project? Abso-freaking-lutely! Find our newest Brooklyn, New York, and Wall Township, New Jersey locations online at sunbeltrentals.com and let Sunbelt Rentals make it happen for you.
I did listen to the people because on that poll, I said, what do you want to talk about? And Luis Rojas did win with 42% of the vote, followed by the Royal Rumble at 26% of the vote. And then Eli Manning followed by El Capitan Derek Jeter. I guess there isn't really much to say about Derek Jeter, which is that, oh, he should have gotten 100% of the vote. I mean, look, there's a lot of guys in the history of baseball that should have gotten 100% of the vote. But what I like, what I'm positive about, is that we have made such great progress in this voting in that we would have no doubt about Hall of Famers like Greg Maddux, Randy Johnson, go back further, Joe DiMaggio, Ted Williams, Hank Aaron, who would fall further short than just one vote. So the fact we now live in a world in which Mo's 100%, Jeter only misses by a one, the voters are doing a much better job than they ever used to when they're leaving Joe DiMaggio off the ballot the first time around. Anyhow, let's get to your calls. 877-337-6666. We will lead it off with Steve in Cincinnati. Good morning, Steve.
Morning, Evan. Well, I'm excited to hear that the two things at the top of the poll are what I want to talk about.
Very good.
First off being, I was watching Dynamite the other night, and hearing Jim Ross, it made me think of, I'm not sure, and I want your feedback on this, do you think he is more eccentric Keith Hernandez or off his rocker Ralph Kiner? Because I think he falls somewhere in between.
That's an interesting comparison. That's an interesting comparison. I was actually going to say John Madden. He has a lot of John Madden in him, Jim Ross. Do you see that at all, or is that just me?
Yeah. No, that's not too far. I mean, he definitely falls into the lovable, we've been listening to a long time for him type guy,
yes.
And we take him for what he is.
Yes.
But as far as Rojas goes, my take on it is, unfortunately, he just comes in a very unenviable position. The seat is red hot for Brody. This is on him. This
yes.
is on the ownership. I'm going to get frustrated with Rojas during the course of the year, but ultimately, I'm going to be blaming the GM for this. I do not take him at his word that he did not do his diligence on Beltran and did not know more about this.
Well, he's still Steve.
Until the day that everything's cleaned out, that this is where we're stuck.
Well, he needs still, Steve, to answer more questions about the handling of Carlos Beltran. I thought that conference call a few weeks ago where they cut Joe and I off after one question with no follow-up, I thought overall he just did a terrible job. He did a terrible job explaining what happened. And what I'm afraid of is that the next time he's asked about it, whether it's with us, hopefully, or somewhere else, he's going to go with the, well, that's the past, let's talk about the future, and never fully have to explain how much they screwed that up. Now, to your point about all the blame goes on Brody, I have no trust in Brody Van Wagenen. His record as general manager has been mixed at best. But I can't guarantee that if things are going wrong with the Mets, I'm ripping Luis Rojas or I'm ripping Brody Van Wagenen, because that's too general. What is going wrong? You know what I mean? I mean, if we're talking about not having a feel for the game, making the wrong moves, taking guys out too early, going to the wrong guy out of the bullpen, then yeah, I think you criticize the manager. But if it's just straight up underperformance and this bullpen is a colossal failure another year in a row and you see obvious holes with this team, then you point more towards the general manager. But you are right that with a brand new owner coming in soon, this GM's on the hot seat. This GM in a lot of ways inherited a talented core of guys. He inherited Jacob deGrom. He inherited Noah Syndergaard. He inherited prospect Pete Alonso and not really a prospect, but all of a sudden blossoming Jeff McNeil. So he hasn't left an incredible mark on this team yet. And the new owner, when he comes in, may want his own guys unless there's a ton of wins on the board. John's in Staten Island. Hey, John.
Hey, good morning, Evan. Yeah, two things on the hiring. Why would they do it when Eli Manning is retiring? You know he's going to get the back page of the Post in the first set. The Mets thing's on page 8. They couldn't do it today, tomorrow. Like you said, Sunday there's no football. Do it then. You get the back page.
Does that matter? Does that matter to you?
I think it does a little.
Why?
Little headlines, you know, and everything.
Yeah, but what's the difference? I mean, he's the manager. What's the difference if he gets a headline or he doesn't get a headline?
I don't know. It's still good. For me, it is.
All
I don't
right.
know how the other people
all
feel.
Right. Well, I can, John, I can only speak for myself. I can't speak for every Met fan. I don't care. I mean, it doesn't matter if the Mets are getting the back page or not getting the back page. I think they wanted this done before today. I know the Mets are having a fan festival today, and the manager is going to be there, and they hired Luis Rojas. Why waste any time? Now, I'm sure there are some that are going to say, oh, they did it on purpose. They tried to hide it on purpose. I don't know why they would hide, you know, the announcing of a manager. And one thing about Luis Rojas is he has nothing to do with Carlos Beltran and that situation. He happens to be the guy replacing Carlos Beltran, but it's not as if he was involved in the decision to get rid of Carlos Beltran or what happened in Houston a couple of years ago. So, look, if it bothers you that the Mets didn't have their own day, I can't tell you how to think, but I could say personally, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't. Rick's down in Tampa. Hey, Rick.
Yes, Evan. How you doing, buddy?
Good, man.
Happy
What's
Saturday.
Up? Happy Saturday.
Yeah, all the list of things I want to talk to you during the week when I don't get in, but let me make a couple quick points, if I may. One is that, first of all, when you and Joe with the Brody bandwagon in press conference was one of the funniest things I've heard in a while. I mean, when you got on, it was almost surreal. Like you're asking a question. I'm like, is this like a science fiction theater where you're just throwing out a question? It was pretty funny that I didn't know that you actually got a chance to ask a question. It was great.
Yeah, I was surprised too. I didn't know it was going to happen.
Yeah,
I'm glad it did.
Yeah. And the other thing, two things. One is that April 5th down here, man, there's a isn't there a big WWE I've been hearing?
Yeah, there's this thing called WrestleMania. Yes, that is happening in Tampa.
You coming down here?
Nah.
I'm going to get you a couple tickets.
I haven't gone to a WrestleMania since WrestleMania 11. I like to watch it on my TV at home. But thank you.
Okay. All right, yeah. All right. That was just a thought because I saw it. I was talking to an old wrestler, Sylvain Grenier.
Oh, yeah.
You ever heard of him?
Yeah, I have.
He's in my store. Yeah, so he was talking. We were talking about anyway. Wow. Two things. One about Stanton. Do we need to see Stanton bench press pressing a bit? I mean, bench pressing for muscle. If anything, as a Yankee fan, we want to see him doing yoga, something like that, because we want him to be limber, not muscular. You know, enough of this muscle.
Right.
So that's my first point with Stan. And the second, I wanted to ask you and Joe this, and I'll just ask you because you could ask the question to Joe as well. In the honor of the Chiefs making it 50 years, if your Jets made the Super Bowl, would you, like say if you were playing here in Tampa or wherever it was, would you rather go to the game? Now, this is, I know maybe you and Joe have different opinions on this. Would you rather be at the game after Jets haven't been in it forever, or would you rather be at home? Now, think about it for a second with the comforts and your own little private superstitions and your parts, and if they lose, you have to deal with it. What would you
– Rick, I can answer this for Joe. I do not have to ask him. I already know his answer. Both of us would be in the building. There's no question. I know it's been a long time, so I got to remind you about this, and I'm not sure if Rick or anyone else was listening to Joe and I back in 2010 and 2011. But Joe and I, on our own dime, went to just about every Jet playoff game. We didn't go to the first one against Cincinnati, but after that, me and him, we flew to L.A. for Jets Chargers. That's right, L.A., because it was way too expensive to fly to San Diego. So we flew to L.A., rented a car, and drove an hour and a half, whatever it was, down to San Diego for that playoff game. And then we flew to Indianapolis and drove back from Indianapolis for the AFC Championship game. And the following year, we did all of it. We flew to Indianapolis. Joe did not go to Foxborough with me. That was just me and Ernie. He was too scarred from what had happened about 7 weeks earlier when the Patriots just crushed the Jets that night and the fans were just brutal to us. And then we drove to Pittsburgh. So when they're in the playoffs, we basically follow them. So yeah, I don't think there's any doubt you'd want to be there. You'd want to experience it. But I tell you, man, it feels, that idea just feels so foreign. And I get mixed when a franchise like the Kansas City Chiefs gets to a Super Bowl, or the Chicago Cubs get and ultimately win a World Series, or the Cleveland Cavaliers win an NBA championship. There's a part of me that says, this is hope. If they can do it, why can't my team do it? But then there's a part of me that's incredibly jealous, that says, I don't want to see these people happy. You know, I'm watching the Kansas City Chiefs fans celebrate. Oh my God, it's been 50 years. And sure, a part of you wants to be happy for them. But then there's another part that says, what about me? Isn't that human nature? But when you hear individual stories, you know, I feel happy. You know, like, oh, good for you. You waited a very long time. You got your franchise quarterback. You're going to go to the Super Bowl. Have a great time. But I would want to be in the building, and so would Joe. That's for sure. Justin is in Holtsville. How are you, Justin?
Hey, what's up, Evan? How are
you? What's up, man? I'm good. Thanks for calling.
No problem. So I just want to talk a little Mets baseball and actually how I think they are World Series contenders this year.
All right.
With that said, I think that if Familia and Diaz from last year shaved their ERAs in half, and then you have the addition of Betances to go along with Lugo and Wilson, and I think Michael Wacha will be in there too, probably as like the long man. I think you'll see, because we did that with we got 86 wins last year with that team,
right?
And I think that we could, you know, maybe get 90-91 wins this year.
Listen, I like your confidence, but you very casually said Edwin Diaz slices his ERA at half. That's a lot easier said than done. Same thing with Jeurys Familia, who both had ERAs in the high fives. Yeah, the bullpen was a big problem, but there are other things that went well for the Mets last year that I'm not sure will go the same way. For example, Zach Wheeler made 31 starts. Zach Wheeler had, you know, I thought a better year than even the stats showed. He's not in that rotation anymore. What is Rick Porcello? What is Michael Wacha? What is Marcus Stroman in a contract year? You know, Steven Matz, I give him credit. He's been healthy the last couple of years, but I think we've been waiting on him taking a step he's never taken. And then offensively, can Pete Alonso hit even close to 53 home runs again? Can J.D. Davis be the offensive player he was last year, which was very good? I mean, guy had a 900 OPS. So along with fixing the bullpen and hoping it's better, there's a lot of things that also have to happen. It's just another year in which there's a lot of ifs. We seem to do that a lot. If this happens, if that happens. You know, Alan Paramus, you should be calling Joe. He's very upset with you.
Why? What did I do?
You know what you did.
Wait, it was my birthday the other day. I'm 72 years old. He's got it. Wait.
Well, first of all, happy birthday. But the reason why Joe is annoyed, for the audience out there that may not have heard, is after the Patriots lost, and you were very arrogant about how the Patriots could never lose, no big deal, losing to the Dolphins, whatever, you were not humble in defeat. And instead, you were defiant. You didn't want to give the opponent any credit, the Tennessee Titans, and you came across like a sore loser. Do you agree with that,
okay,
Al?
I'm going to have to call him and apologize.
You should, yes.
Okay, and I definitely will.
Okay, good.
You know, Eli.
Yes.
You know, congratulations, retirement. He was a great Giant. Number being retired, I agree. Now, you and Joe, I have to ask you a few questions. You and Joe both have his vote for the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
And I have a few questions for you.
Yes.
First of all, it has nothing to do with his regular season because he's 117-117. So you agree that you're basing it on those two Super Bowl runs, correct?
Not 100%, but it definitely puts him over the top, yes.
Okay, if he won one, you wouldn't put him in there. So here's where I have the problem, and I'm going to bring up someone else's name, and I think you know where I'm going.
Yeah, you're going to bring up Jim Plunkett's name, right?
Yes, and here's why. Yeah. When he was with Oakland, he was 38-19. He was 8-2 in the playoffs, okay, where Eli was 8-4, and Eli was 4-1-and-done. Plunkett won two Super Bowls. He was one MVP. His career record, win-loss record, was 72-72. And I think, now, you have to be fair. I'm not sure how you feel about Jim Plunkett. But, you know, if Eli gets in and Jim Plunkett doesn't, then I would have to say, well, if Jim Plunkett's name was Manning, would he get in?
No. Can I disagree with him? Can I tell you why I think you're wrong? Now, Joe has brought up Jim Plunkett as a guy that he thinks should be in the Hall of Fame. I never saw Jim Plunkett play, so a lot of what I'm talking about is where he falls short from Eli from a statistical standpoint, and he does. I mean, you're bringing up two Super Bowls, you're bringing up a 500 record, but you're leaving out the fact that Eli started, you know, 50 more games. You're leaving out the fact that Plunkett threw 30 more interceptions than touchdowns. You're leaving out the fact that Plunkett threw more interceptions in the postseason than he threw touchdowns. Now, I get it, it's a different era, so the numbers are not all created equal, but those are things you left out that I think are important when evaluating Jim Plunkett's resume as compared to Eli Manning's.
But to be fair, when we bring up Eli Manning's records, we don't talk about any negativity. We don't talk about
one and done.
We don't talk about that he led the league in interceptions.
But Al, I think we do. I think we do. I think that's why Eli Manning is a debatable Hall of Famer. And there are some on one side of the debate, like myself, like Joe, and there are others like you who say he's not. His resume in the regular season is not irrelevant. He is not only a Hall of Famer because of the two Super Bowl runs. Because here are the things from the regular season that matter. He was a very solid regular season quarterback. Was he great? Was he ever top five? No, never suggested that. But he also went out and started every single game. That matters. How much it matters, that's up to you. That matters a lot to me. His stats in the regular season, they're not Hall of Fame worthy on their own, but they're also not irrelevant. They're good. They're good. The postseasons put him over the top. I know it's tough to compare sports in this way, but I really think the Curt Schilling debate is all about how much you want to value the playoffs. That's what it's about. You know, we try to simplify it sometimes and say, well, it's because people don't like Curt Schilling. I'm sure there are some that don't. But Curt Schilling is a Hall of Famer because of October. That's why he is. His resume on its own is good. It's very good. It's similar to Kevin Brown. And very few people think Kevin Brown is a Hall of Famer. His postseasons elevate him. Eli's postseasons elevate him. That's the way I look at it. And they're not just he was on two Super Bowl teams, because sometimes that gets thrown out there. He was driving the bus for the two Super Bowls. That doesn't mean they could have won it without Justin Tuck and Michael Strahan in the first Super Bowl. That doesn't mean they could have won the second one without that pass rush or a real good offensive line or Plexico Burress or David Tyree's great catch. Obviously, it's a football team. It's not one guy. But Eli also wasn't carried to a Super Bowl. His performance during those two runs was one of the main reasons why they won championships. So it's not just he won two Super Bowls. It's not as simplistic as that. It's he was a big part and a driving force behind those two Super Bowls. I will give you this. I get why Eli Manning's Hall of Fame credentials are debated. It's not easy. It's not Derek Jeter. I get that. But what I do in this case, and I do it in Curt Schilling's case, is I look at October, and in this case, January, and it matters. How much it matters, that's the question. For me, it's enough to say he's a Hall of Famer. Because winning championships is the name of the game. It's not a disqualifier if you're not great in the playoffs. It's not a disqualifier if you don't win a Super Bowl, just like it's not the end-all, be-all if you do. But when you factor everything together, that's what makes Eli the guy. And what's funny about the Eli Hall of Fame debate, it feels like we've had it since the second Super Bowl. On and off since then. On and off, it's happened. Like, what do you think Eli's legacy? It's still being determined. Okay, now it's determined. We're having it. And this Eli debate, and probably a lot of people are going to be thankful for what I'm about to say, it's probably going to go away for a while. Well, maybe in another week or so, or a couple of days, or whatever. It's going to go away. We're very rarely going to talk about Eli's legacy. And then, when he's up for vote, that debate is just going to pound out again. It's an endless one. But I think it's about to go on hibernation. More of your calls coming up, plus a few other things to get to, including the Knicks from last night, the Knicks' plan before the deadline, and even the Nets, who are playing a huge game tonight against Detroit and tomorrow against the Knicks. We'll mix in some basketball as well, but a lot of baseball and a lot of football as I take you till 1 o'clock.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.